Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are taking a look at the remnant, a welcome and refreshing look at the godly remnant in Malachi 3:16, who are distinguished from the vast majority of people in the nation of Israel who have no heart for God, no interest in truth, no recognition of the Word of God when it comes to them, no desire to know what is keeping them from God's blessing and from having a good relationship with Him. People who are spiritually dull and uninterested in God and in the things of God. They only want an external ceremonial type of worship, and only then, if it pays off, if it results in better crops and material blessings for themselves, and if doing that doesn't seem to pay, then they're not even interested in doing that. They are, well, what are they like? They're like all unregenerate, fallen sons and daughters of Adam, all sinners until they have been saved, even though many unregenerate sinners are religious, religious by profession, religious by external practices, but far from God in their attitudes and sentiments. And that's exactly what we find in this remnant, or in the majority of the people of Israel in the book of Malachi. But there is this refreshing remnant that is introduced to us for the first time in chapter 3 and verse 16. And that is what we are looking at. We started on the broadcast last week. We take it up again on this Monday, March 2. Thank you for joining us. And thanks so much for helping us with the financial expenses necessary to keep this broadcast on this station. Here's what it says, Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. The believing remnant is distinguished from the unbelieving majority by five things. Number one, a distinguishing condition. Two, a distinguishing activity. Third, a distinguishing relationship. Fourth, a distinguishing record. And fifth, a distinguishing worship. We've already studied the first one. The distinguishing condition is those who feared the Lord. The opening words of verse 16. Then they who feared the Lord. That's what made them different from the majority. Now I pause once again. Is that what characterizes you? We used to talk in this country about that's a God-fearing person, that's a God-fearing man. I don't hear much language like that anymore. But the text in front of me suggests that that's exactly the way we should be talking and should be thinking. The believing remnant was distinguished by their fear of God. Then those who feared the Lord. And I say it again, does that characterize you? And if so, in what way? And in what way does your claim to fear the Lord distinguish you from those who do not? It is a serious and searching question, but we move on from a distinguishing condition to number two, a distinguishing activity. those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Now that's interesting. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. They recognized a great need. They saw the danger to themselves and their families and realized they needed help in order to remain true to God. They spoke to one another. That was their distinguishing activity. They employed an effective solution in order to fortify themselves in this society in which the vast majority did not fear the Lord. The vast majority ignored the claims of the Lord God upon them. The vast majority did not respect or honor God or His things. The vast majority were only interested in their own lives and their material well-being. The vast majority only went through the motions of worshiping God to the extent that they saw some personal benefit in it. And the believing remnant recognized that they were in danger of being swallowed up by this vast majority and even being adversely affected by them and their children adversely affected by them. And so what was their solution? They came upon an idea, a methodology, an activity which would help fortify them in their situation so that they would not be individually isolated and thereby overcome. What did they do? Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. That was their effective solution. They sought out like-minded people to engage in fellowship. As simple as that. They spoke to one another. That's a simple phrase, and on first glance, it might not seem to be as significant as I'm calling it, as I'm making it out to be. But I'm confident that it is very significant. They found like-minded people and they cultivated relationships with them. And they did that by speaking to one another. They sought out like-minded people to engage in fellowship. That's exactly what they did. They recognized the need for fellowship with like-minded believers. That was important to their spiritual health. Now, what did they talk about? We're not told. But we can be sure that it was the opposite of what the majority was talking about. The majority's speech was filled with criticism of God and of His ways and of His word and of His messenger, Malachi. The majority's speech was filled with accusations against God and expressions of unbelief and challenging God and questioning His ways. And you can be sure that the conversation that the remnant had with one another was of a very different order. It was filled with faith in God and in His Word, and it was filled with encouragement to one another to hold on, keep me, Lord, and keep me cleaving to Thyself and still believing. Hold on, brother. Don't let the assault of the adversary cause you to cave, cause you to surrender. Hold on, brother. Keep trusting, keep believing, keep serving the Lord. This was their distinguishing activity. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. What they are doing anticipates the very purpose for which Christ later in the New Covenant inaugurated the New Testament church. And what is the purpose of the New Testament church? Well, there are certainly more than one features that are very important, instructive, and helpful in the activities of the church, but this one in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 is very, very vital. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but, and here's the key word, exhorting one another. exhorting one another. What is that? Speaking to one another. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is God's New Testament solution for His people to be helped and strengthened and fortified against the assault of the adversary, but we find it employed by the Old Covenant people of God in the book of Malachi. We don't know how they did this, but the suggestion is that they must have had times when they met. Let's get together. Let's get together and read a portion of Scripture and talk about its meaning and talk about what's going on in our nation and pray for our nation, which is in such spiritual decline. And they evidently, therefore, had regular meetings for mutual strengthening and encouragement, for instruction and fellowship. How are believers going to successfully stand in an ungodly culture? Only if we are developing good, positive, active, encouraging, strengthening, exhorting relationships with other believers. That's what the local church is about. Not all about, but that's one of the main things that it is about. We need this. There is no substitute for it. That is a distinguishing activity of New Covenant believers, that they speak often one to another because they come together for worship and fellowship often, and during that time they encourage and strengthen one another in the most holy faith. And that's exactly what's going on in the days of Malachi. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. I guess you understand that social interaction is something that can be used either for good or for ill. Sometimes when people get together, they get together to gossip. They get together to slander. That's maybe... it's related to gossip, but it's a particular kind of gossip. Gossip is passing on some juicy story that you believe to be true. Slander is passing on something that you know is not true, but you want to tear somebody down, and so you spread lies about them. People get together for all kinds of reasons. They get together for bawdy entertainment. They get together for drinking. They get together for all kinds of reasons. And many of these get-togethers, these social interactions, are not carried out in such a way that they build us up, but do just the opposite. They tear us down. But there are other activities of, if you want to call them, social interaction. That's really what it is when people come together and speak to one another. There are other activities like this that are very beneficial to our soul. This one in Malachi fits that category. The one spoken of in Hebrews chapter 10 that I read a moment ago fits that category. And we need to be careful that we don't allow our churches to become centers of apathy or infidelity, but rather become a place where people are built up and build up one another in the most holy faith. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.